Welcome to The Learning Curve with Roger and Virginia. The Learning Curve is about helping kids get good grades in school and succeeding in life. It's for all parents, teachers and students, as all of life is a learning curve and you succeed in life to the extent that you can learn easily. Today's guest is Linda Dobson, and you're going to hear some answers here on what is the difference between unschooling and homeschooling. Answers to do with how best can you prepare your child for school, and also how best you can benefit your child with homeschooling, and the fact that there are actually health benefits in homeschooling your child. To get more information on the material we cover in our shows, you can go to howtolearneasily.com, or if you've got any questions, email us at questions@howtolearneasily.com. Today's guest is Linda Dobson. Linda Dobson is the author of 8 books on the subject of homeschooling, and the first of which, and the one that's my particular favorite, is called The First Year of Homeschooling Your Child. Linda is a frequent columnist with Home Education magazine as well, and she homeschooled her own 3 children beginning in 1985. She also introduced homeschooling to thousands of parents via a course at Barnes & Noble University. So this young lady, we'll call her a young lady because we're among friends, is very highly qualified to be talking to us today on the subject of homeschooling your children. And you can visit her website at parentatthehelm.com. So that's parentatthehelm, parentatthehelm.com. I recommend you go to that site. There's some wonderful resources there. Welcome there, Linda.
Thank you very much, Roger. Very happy to be here.
Linda, I know we're going to be talking about homeschooling, but there also was a term on your website, I believe I saw something about unschooling. Can you tell us what is unschooling and how is it different from homeschooling?
Okay, well, I can give you my definition of unschooling. I think it's very much like homeschooling, but if you ask 12 different people what it is, you're going to get 12 different answers. Homeschooling, by its name, connotes someone is sitting down and doing something at least similar to the traditional school system and the school system's approach to education. Unschooling, on the other hand, has a bit more freedom involved. It's sometimes called child-led learning. It's sometimes called interest-led learning. But I don't want any of your listeners to get confused about what it is, because oftentimes people who don't understand it automatically say, well, that's really for the lazy parent. They don't have to do anything. I would tend to argue that unschooling probably takes even more attention and more love and compatibility with the parent, because you are receiving all of your cues from the child. Everything from how the child learns to what the child's interests are.
Now, that's actually an important point you raised there, Linda, because that way you're following and pursuing the child's interests, and they really do absorb the knowledge very easily. Of course, it does require the parent then to respond and have to dig up things to serve the child's needs.
Right, resources, and you got to have a chauffeur's cap handy as well.
Yeah.
Because you wind up taking them a lot of places. And it's a terrific way, not that homeschoolers don't do this, but unschooling is another terrific way to utilize the entire community while you are educating your children.
If I remember correctly, in looking at the history of this whole movement here in America, you don't know this, Linda, but our listeners know that I'm an Australian, 75 years old, so I've seen a lot of things over the years in different countries, and it was interesting to me to read about the development of this movement here in America. And unschooling, as I understand it, originally began as an effort to undo the damages of the regimented indoctrination type scenario that pertained in the American system. And then the homeschooling movement really got going out of that. So that brings us pretty much to present time. Is that correct as far as you know?
I would say that's probably so, yes, because even going all the way back to John Holt, who wrote a tremendous number of very valuable and important books, he always said, you know, even if the schools were fantastic, I would still recommend taking your children out of them. That's not an exact quote, but that's what
that's
he meant.
In the vein of his sentiment, yes, and he really did get this whole do-it-yourself and get it right movement going.
What are the reasons that some parents would choose to homeschool their children?
Oh, boy, I don't have enough fingers and toes for that.
good to see you get a sense of humor on this subject, mate.
I've been at it for a while, as you know.
Well, what are the most common reasons that you've heard that parents choose?
The most common reason is folks having problems with the school system for a variety of reasons. You know, perhaps the child doesn't learn best with the school's focus on linguistic and mathematical bent that it has. And, you know, maybe their gifts lay in a different way, and they need to perhaps hear things instead of sit and read things, or they need to move around while they're learning, and that child just is not happy in a classroom. There are other reasons, people with gifted children, and on the other aspect of it, children with special needs tend to come home and do a heck of a lot better, to the point where some of them who were put on these over-prescribed medications that children are today being given and can live very happily without them. I remember when I was writing the Homeschooler's Success Stories book, I also interviewed some young people as well, up-and-coming homeschoolers. And this one mom was telling me about her son with Asperger's syndrome, and he just wasn't getting it at school, so he came home, he wasn't getting it there. And then one day she decided while he was jumping around on his trampoline, she would just read to him. And then she asked him the questions at the end of the reading, and she was absolutely amazed because he had been listening, he had been paying attention. That was what he needed to do.
Yeah. Our research shows that, and it's been well documented by a lot of the educational researchers, that many children have many different learning styles.
Right.
And the homeschooler has the advantage of being able to work with the child in the style of learning that they can learn best by using. And that Asperger's syndrome story is an interesting one.
Yes, and it's tailoring the education to the child, which is something that I know a lot of school teachers are very jealous of the fact that we can do that.
Yeah.
The other thing we can do as homeschoolers is, you know, let's say perhaps you did buy a particular math textbook and it's not working. We have the flexibility, unlike the school who has just spent millions of dollars and purchased all these math books and they need to use them for 5 years for budgetary purposes.
Right.
Homeschoolers can say, okay, well, I'm going to put this for sale on eBay or Craigslist and
get
go
one that
try
works
a different route.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the teachers have to teach, or not have to, but they choose to these days teach to tests rather than really teach what the child needs to know.
Yes, and of course the other thing that is easy to observe is that some textbooks are quite clear in passing on the knowledge that they intend to pass on, where others are so obtuse.
What happens when books are written by committee?
Yeah, so parents, be warned, you've got some work out there.
Question for you about concerns. Parents wanting to start homeschooling and they're, should I do it, should I not do it? What are some of the common concerns the parents have, and what's your advice for them?
Usually the concerns can fill in the blank in this sentence. I can't do it because I'm too blank, or I don't have enough blank. And those are typically filled in with, you know, I don't have enough time. I'm not smart enough. I don't know if I could stand my children being around all the time. As horrible as that is, I have heard it. And in that particular instance, I tell people, well, you know, that's probably because you're dealing with kids who go to school every day. I guarantee you, once they're home for a while, a few months, you're going to be dealing with different children. Another one is people think they don't have enough money. You know, they have this image that this costs a lot. Now, it is true in many circumstances, a second income is sacrificed in order to accomplish this. But by the same token, somebody who really, really wants to do this and makes it their top priority, they are accomplishing it as single parents or divorced parents or, you know, getting help from neighbors and the grandparents and whoever else will pitch in. And that's fine. You know, some people say, well, oh my gosh, you've got all these people who don't know how to teach, taking care of these children's education. But I think a lot of trained teachers find that they've got to get rid of a lot of stuff before they can truly start enjoying and appreciating and utilizing the benefits of homeschooling.
I think you're right on that. It's far easier than folks would ordinarily think. In fact, a lot of our guests here mention the fact that parents are the child's first and best teacher.
That's another part of the problem. People, their mind already goes to the one system that they probably attended and see that as the way it needs to be done. I ask people to get rid of even the idea that you're teaching and just think in terms of you are helping your child learn.
Particularly with the modern resources, it's really a whole parade on discovery.
Working with
the child and helping them use the internet and troop down the library and pick up books to study, it's nowadays got to be a breeze.
You would think so. The only thing I don't envy people who are homeschooling now compared to back when I did it is actually the plethora of resources that are involved. I think I would have been the kind of person who, you know, after 5 years, don't worry, kids, I think I've picked out the math book we're going to use.
So on your website, you have easy homeschooling starting points. Would you share that with us?
Easy homeschooling starting points. Those came out of actually my first book, The Art of Education, Reclaiming Your Family, Community, and Self. They really are, again, this goes back to the thought that people think it's just so difficult to homeschool, and, you know, you've got to be brilliant, and you've got to be rich, and you've got to whatever. It's just not the case. The first one is simply supply the materials. You put the stuff out there. A curious child whose love of learning and whose curiosity hasn't been squelched is going to do something with those materials. In the homeschooling community, it's also called strewing. You know, you just leave a book laying around here and a magazine over there, and boy, it works every time.
That's right. They'll possess it and get on with it.
Right. They really do pick it up. Another one is, you know, visit your community. Take advantage of all the people out there who have studied for lifetimes various things that your children are interested in. Interestingly, I took good advantage of the community. Only one time did anyone say no, that they didn't want to get involved. And the irony is it was an advertising company. The lesson for us was that wasn't very good advertising, and if we ever needed an advertiser, we weren't going to call them back.
Could you give us some examples of some of the resources you did use?
All my kids volunteered. That was a very important part of their curriculum, as it were.
And it was their choice what they volunteered for?
Right. And apprenticeships, too. But getting back to this, my elder son volunteered at, it was called the Visitors Interpretive Center. It was a nature center run by the state. He would give high school classes tours. They would take them out on the trails and learn things about the nature that was around. And I remember one time he came home. I think he was probably about 14 and he was doing this. And apparently one of the high school teachers complained, you know, why do you have this little kid taking a class out? And I mean, he had done it 100 times, so he definitely knew what he was talking about. And they also had a little gift shop in that nature center. And from seeing him volunteer around, when the gift shop needed help, they offered him a job. It was just, so that became his first job. And then he actually got a job working for the state at the nature center as well. He was also very, very interested in firefighting, so he joined the Boy Scouts. Well, he got into this, and then he became a volunteer firefighter, and while doing that, he got interested in being an EMT, so he took that training as well, and that led to a job for him. We were in Lake Placid, so he became an EMT for the Olympic venues that were there. As well as going out, in the middle of the night on all the calls and all of that. My other son, let's see, he volunteered for the food pantry. My daughter was big on the animal shelter. They all did story hour and puppet shows and whatnot at the library. There are just so many opportunities out there. If people just kind of tweak their thinking a little bit, the world can truly be their children's oyster.
So that's it sounds true. Like also the volunteering and the puppet shows and such that, or you going out and actually using the community resources also helps with the concern that I know some parents have about socialization. My child needs to be socialized. If they stay home, they don't meet anybody.
Well, wouldn't think after all this time we would have put that one to rest, but it sure comes up a lot continually. It just is not an issue, and in right. fact, I would argue that homeschool kids get many more opportunities for, and this is the important point, real life socialization.
I absolutely agree.
And harmonious relationships. Too much of what goes on in school is disharmonious, negative.
Or authoritative.
Yeah.
And it's also fake.
Yes.
It's never repeated in your life. You know, you don't go to work and they say, okay, well, there's the room with all the people with your same zip code who are the same age as you. You go work in there.
Yeah, and sit down and shut up and we'll tell you what.
Right.
So we're listening to Linda Dobson. She's the author of The First Year of Homeschooling Your Child. And you can find Linda at her website, which is parentatthehelm.com.
We were talking about easy homeschooling starting points. I think we only got through about 2 or 3 of them. Do you have any more?
Oh, sure. Simply push the off button was one of my favorites. I was actually just talking to a friend today who explained that they had gotten rid of their cable, which was kind of surprising with this particular person. And I said, why did you do that? She said, well, we just decided if we couldn't turn the TV on, we would do something else. And she said, you know what? We are.
Wow.
So, I mean, there are a lot of people who don't want to put limits on. I think there would be unschoolers who would disagree with me on this. And the other side of the coin is there certainly are educational programs available on your television. But by and large, I think American families spend a little bit too much time in front of that TV, mm-hmm. which has health effects, physical health effects, not to mention mental health effects. Another one is to simply be quiet, to allow children quiet time. We've gotten so used to having the teacher as a middleman in this learning process that we've totally forgotten, or they're not paying attention to the research that indicates, in a way, machines. And machines can't run all the time. So there needs to be a time for children for, really effective learning, that there's time for input, and then there's time for processing to allow them to think about these things, to perhaps put them to work and test them in their own little corner of the world.
Because then they can align what they're learning and correctly correlate it with their earlier learned knowledge and then predict how they're going to use it from then on. That's very important, Linda. Yeah, I like that. And that is really missing in the schools. In fact, one of the great tragedies in the conventional conveyor belt, mass-produced attempt at school is they never complete anything. It's like, here's the knowledge, and then there's no where does it fit and how do I use it and can I use it? That's totally omitted.
Yeah, everything is taught in silos.
And yes, and that's the most important thing. I mean, they have to be able to put these pieces of the puzzle together.
Yep.
And that too is part of the problem of breaking it up into puzzle pieces in order to be able to teach it.
Mm.
Sometimes it's better to, just throw it at the kid or throw the kid into it and let them see it as a whole. They will figure out the pieces.
Then they make it their own, and then they are really sovereign and can apply it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I printed out some of the items on your website. I tell you, folks, it's a website you really should go to. There's some phenomenal resources and articles there. Here's one I like. 25 ideas for enjoying a relaxed learning summer. Are you a homeschooler who follows a 10-month calendar? Have you grown curious about ditching textbooks and moving toward a less structured manner of homeschooling? Do you live in a state where the public education process is in an uproar? Where isn't it an uproar? Thinking you might want to skip it all, and then it sort of vanishes off in a series of ellipses here. The rest of the article, folks, is at her website, which is parentatthehelm.com.
Well, I actually, some of that list are things we just talked about. The fact that kids can, go hiking, they can volunteer at the library. Many libraries will even allow younger children to do so if a parent is there. I did run into some, we don't have insurance for a 12-year-old kind of response at times. So, but if I was there, they were more than happy to do it. These are not just summer learning ideas. These are good anytime. You can travel. You can travel virtually anywhere on a computer these days. Doing crafts to make Christmas gifts or birthday gifts for the family. Folks can go out at night and track the stars. They can sleep during the day if they have to stay up a little bit later. Listen to audiobooks. Get in a competition with your siblings, or, who can listen to the most, or something like that. Learn how to cook. Build a boat. Build a treehouse. An interesting story about a treehouse. I once, when my kids were young, had opportunity to go to a Saturday teacher's workshop. I took that, and they were home with my husband. Sitting in this class, and one of the classes was actually, they gave us a bunch of popsicle sticks, and we were making skeletons out of these. So it used to be lunchtime, and I go out and I call home, and I, how are the kids doing? Oh, they're fine. I haven't really seen them. Oh, where are they? So they're working on their forts out in the woods. So while I was sitting there playing with popsicle sticks, they were putting a second story fort in a tree. Well, I guess we probably don't need this popsicle stick after.
That reminds me, when I was a kid, we used to get out and build things like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm lucky we survived some of the tricks we got up to.
Well, and we've gone to the other extreme now. Everything for children seems to be organized, and helmets and pads and insurance and signed permission slips. And I think they're missing out on an awful lot, Mm-hmm.
Earlier you were talking about the plethora of materials that's out there now for people who choose to homeschool. How would you suggest parents weed through all of this? Do you have a recommendation? Do you have a list of recommendations or points that you would have parents look at or look for?
I learned early not to make lists of recommendations, because for every person who said, oh, that's a wonderful list, there were 10 who said, no.
That figures.
yeah, I like this, I like the other thing. I think the best thing for parents to do, before they buy anything, this is another mistake a lot of new homeschoolers make. They go out and spend a gazillion dollars on all this curriculum because somebody did tell them this is good and that was good, and maybe they go to a conference or a convention and they see all kinds of things that are good. I tell people, don't buy anything right away. First, spend some time observing, as we talked about before, how do your children like to learn?
Yeah.
You know, what is the most efficient way for them? And the other thing is, watch what they like. You know, go to the library, see which books they pick out for themselves. Then you have an idea of what their interests are. What do they want to watch on TV? Do they want to see how a train is made? Or, you know, they want to watch Nova and find out about black holes in the universe? Get this information under your belt. And that will, well, there's one more thing. If they are aware of the various homeschooling styles, this is something, again, when I started homeschooling, we just homeschooled.
Right.
Today you can be, you know, you can be an unschool, you could be a Charlotte Mason school, you can be eclectic, you can be classical, and the list goes on and on. They need to get, if they have an understanding of those various things and see which way they lean based on what they're learning about their child, then they have very much narrowed down the number of resources that they need to look at.
The ones that they can actually use, yes.
Right. They've mm-hmm. got a very good starting place.
Thank you, Linda. That looks like a good spot to end off for this week's program of The Learning Curve with Roger and Virginia. You can reach Linda at her website, Parent at the Helm. Linda is the author of The First Year of Homeschooling Your Child. It's a wonderful book, and her site contains some wonderful resources. Next week's guest, we have a return of Frank Barnhill, MD, and in this program, we're going to be looking at what is the difference between attention deficit disorder and the more fashionable recent complaint that's being diagnosed with our kids of ADHD. I'd always thought that attention deficit disorder and hyperactivity disorder were somehow contradictory to each other. So you'll get the answer to that next week with Dr. Frank Barnhill. And also, we'll be actually clarifying the horrific statistic that something in the order of over 1 million children have been wrongly put on medication because they've been incorrectly diagnosed with ADHD. And this is something every parent has to be alert to and be concerned to take care that their child is not one of those million. So you've been listening to Roger and Virginia at The Learning Curve. You can reach us at questions@howtolearneasily.com.